This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Xiaoning. Now, the GSM Association, which is an association representing the interests of mobile operators worldwide, they have lauded Malaysia's push towards deploying 5G technology and said that Malaysia is at the forefront of 5G development in Southeast Asia. And this follows a meeting between the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission and the GSMA. And they said that they are confident with MCMC's 5G development goals, since MCMC is clear about the release of the 700 megahertz band, which is critical for 5G tech.
So last December, Malaysia introduced a 5G task force to bring together different stakeholders. The Southeast Asian countries are only in the midst of making announcements regarding 5G technology, with the exception of Singapore, which is ahead of the game in terms of its preparations, and it intends to roll out networks by next year.
Indonesia has recently announced its own 5G task force last month following the conclusion of their general elections, while in Philippines and Cambodia, they are now only making announcements on 5G. Now, the push towards 5G technology has been driving consolidation among telecommunication companies around the world, and that's because margins on telco companies continue to be pressured. Now, the average revenue per user has been coming down across the board in the region as more users use data versus voice, which is actually a higher margin business.
Now, at the same time, demand is growing and companies need to continuously build their networks while being paid less. And places, and some of the places that are going to be seeing mergers and acquisitions of large telcos are the US, China, and of course, us at home in Malaysia. Now, in the US, the intended merger of Sprint and T-Mobile has been in focus. The decision for the partnership was based on the need for 5G investments. In China, there's the possible merger of China Unicorn and China Telecom. Now, these are two of China's top wireless carriers, and the exploration of this merger is intended to accelerate the development of 5G mobile services. And of course, back home, the proposed merger of Axiata Group and Telenor Group. I think we've had quite a number of discussions on that subject over the past couple of weeks.
That's right. And earlier when we spoke to Kingsley Jones as well, he talked of an emerging Cold War in the technology sector because of the fight between Donald Trump and Huawei around the world. And I think this is going to be pretty disruptive because, as Kingsley remarked earlier, Huawei supplies a lot of these devices and equipment around the world for 5G systems. I'm just wondering whether this can be a competitive advantage for countries that adopt versus countries that don't adopt 5Gs, right? Because the speeds are so much faster. I mean, 20 times faster than the existing 4G. You can basically download a movie in a matter of seconds on your phone, on your mobile.
I think there's basically everybody will eventually have to adopt 5G. There's no running away from it. It's just a question of how much do you want to pay and which operator are you going to use. Currently, the advantage of Huawei is that it's much cheaper and their financing terms are more lucrative. So you do see, especially in Asia and some parts of Europe, choosing to use Huawei. Even in Malaysia, it is talked that likely we will use Huawei, especially when Dr. M, Tun Mahathir, went to China recently and visited Huawei's research center in Beijing. Now, the cost savings could be as much as 30% lower than, let's say, using a European operator of 5G like Ericsson. And even Samsung is trying to get into this act of providing 5G hardware. But I think it's likely that Huawei will be used in Asia just because of the cost.
You know, the thing is that if there are sort of national interests involved and the US bans something like ask Google, you know, a company like Google to ban its products on Huawei's phones, right? Then that can be very disruptive because our life is so tied up to Google these days. You know, Google can be employed as a sort of a trade weapon. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yes, it's true. But the Huawei ban, there's two parts to it, right? One part is your phone, which is the phone you use, you know, your Apple phones. Mm-hmm. And the other part is actually the hardware used to transmit this 5G technology to actually allow for this broad bandwidth to go around. So at this juncture, I think there is concern. Yes, you might not want to buy a Huawei phone because even in Singapore, you can't get resellers to take the Huawei phone anymore. But I think in terms of like hardware technology to actually have 5G implementation, the choices are limited because at the moment there's Huawei, if I'm not wrong, there's Ericsson, there's Nokia, and there's Samsung. They're just basically four global big players. And it's down to cost, because the implementation cost of 5G is going to be expensive. And we can see that because all the telco companies are getting together to do more mergers and acquisitions to reduce the capex for 5G spend.
Samsung saw quite a positive reaction following the news of the Huawei ban, right? Because I remember their share price shot up almost immediately in the wake of the announcement.
5% over the last 3 days. I think it also benefit because if you can't buy a Huawei phone, now going back to phones, what are your options? If you're, especially if you're Chinese and you're a little bit nationalistic, you might not want to whip out your iPhone, you know, in Beijing at this moment, but you want a smartphone. So what are your options? Okay, so you can't, maybe you think, I should still use my Huawei. But if I don't, then I guess Samsung's your next option.
Yeah, looking again at 5G tech, though. So the GSMA has said that they expect Malaysia to achieve 25% of connections to be on 5G by 2025, while the remaining being on 4G. And their outlook on the Asia-Pacific region is that 15% of the technology mix will be 5G, 67% will be 4G, while 13% of the connections will remain on 3G by 2025. So actually, 25% in about 5-6 years, that seems quite soon already, actually.
Very soon. And I think there's a rush towards it. You already see the phone makers going towards that. And they can. It's also all about the Internet of Things and artificial intelligence and so much more you can do with all your devices, just not your phone, but your smart speakers, for example. And that's all going to be driven by 5G technology.
Now, speaking of telcos and mergers, apparently the proposed merger between Axiata Group and Telenor will also see the creation of more jobs. So duplications in terms of infrastructure and capital expenditure will be eliminated, but there will be more jobs when it comes to marketing and servicing a larger clientele base of almost 22 million. Now, the creation of new jobs is also due to new areas of growth like home broadband, enterprise solutions, as well as the regional innovation centre. So Axiata has also emphasized that the planned merger will not result in any retrenchment nor will the success of the merger rely on the reduction of jobs.
Now, if we look back at Malaysia, right, the question is, will we see a Digi and Celcom merger, actually, right? I mean, we see it at the holding company. But on the ground in Malaysia, what about Digi and Celcom? Now, as we know, MCMC just recently published two documents, the guidelines on merger and acquisitions and the guidelines on authorization of conduct following this merger. Now, there's been no official announcement from MCMC. They have not said anything with regards to this potential merger. And I think their decisions may take up to 180 days.
Six months.
So the question is, does this Digi-Celcom merger mean, will it be approved? I think we'll have to watch this space. We will look at this more closely.
I think from the viewpoint of the companies involved, they would probably want it. Otherwise, there would be no point of merging because the cost of duplication is very high. Cost of marketing, for example, the kind of decisions that they have to make in terms of pricing. I mean, they wouldn't be out there, even if they are separate companies competing with each other. So it just feels like the momentum of what the companies want is for Celcom and Digi to be merged. Right. Otherwise, what is the point exactly of the merger?
Well, the question is, does this merger mean or does this merged entity control more than 50% of the market? And that's the threshold that MCMC looks at. But what is the definition of this 40%? Does it include just looking at mobile subscribers or more than that? I think we will need to have a closer examination.
And not forgetting that the merger would also probably create a global tower company. Now, in other news as well today, we have news about the ECRL. So last month, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad said the involvement of Malaysia in the civil works of the ECRL project would be increased to 40%. And this is following the signing of a supplementary agreement between Malaysia Rail Link and China Communications Construction Company. Now, the Malaysian Bumiputra Contractors Association is requesting the Pakatan Harapan government provide a special quota of at least 20% to Bumiputra contractors in order to participate in the civil works of the ECRL project.
So speaking to Bernama yesterday, Honorary Chairperson Mukhtar Samad said this is because there are about 42,000 Bumiputra contractors who have the expertise and skills to be involved in the project's civil works. And Mukhtar said that technical, mechanical and civil works are among the expertise within the portfolios of local contractors and they should be given attention by the government and MRL to enable joint investment involvement in the ECRL.
He was quoted as saying that they are capable of carrying out various works in the projects, and what is wrong if there's a 40% local company participation with 20% given to Bumiputra contractors. Without the special quota, he said, he believes that Bumi contractors would find it hard to or difficult to compete or share with other local companies, and he thinks that this is a reasonable request by the association.
But he has also said that they've met MRL recently to request for priority to be given to Bumiputra contractors in work on the development of the ECRL. But speaking of the ECRL and its construction, sources have told Starbiz that tunnelling works by China companies have started on one of the three sections of the ECRL, while works in the other two sections should start next year. Now, Malaysian firms are expected to take up 40% of civil works, tunnel works are excluded from that 40%.
I think this is the project of the least evil for the lesser of two evils, right? Because you don't want to really offend the Chinese and pay a lot of the penalty fees. So why not make the best of it and give some contracts to the local companies? But that statement is by the Bumiputra Association is sort of contradictory, because on the one hand, they're saying that they have the expertise and the specialization and skills to do this. And on the other hand, they're saying that they can't compete against the local contractors. So that's a contradiction there.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.